The biggest difference in that is you are the employee within the store. You are the owner operator as well. And you are able to put yourself in front of the camera. That is one of the big pillars that I tell every brand that wants me to work with them. Have a mascot, have an ambassador. If you can have that person who's already deep inside the business itself, you are shortcutting like massive shortcuts because you already know the ins and outs of the business. You don't have to email someone. Is this right? Is this right? You already know. You put yourself in front of the camera. I'm not asking you to go research something. You already know it off the top of your head. It makes it so much easier. We don't have to create a script to tell an ambassador or an influencer to tell them what you already know. You could have done it yourself. Welcome to the Sevo Show. We have a guest in, Matthew Pham, P-H-A-M. He's part of the Pham Group, he is a large part of the Pham Group. He is Pham. He started off with his father with one grocery store, and now there are multiple, and they're labeled as IGAs. Back in the days of the Dusons and the supermarkets, they were all kind of local names. IGA took over, but the quality, the relationships, and the customer service is still top quality. And I met Matt through social media. He came out to seek my help on for the TikTok stuff. And he's seen some success, but it's not about me. It's about Matt. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Seven. Spot on with the description about, you know, the evolution from Dusons and Foodland into what is known as IJ now.
Yeah. So back then with your dad starting out, what was that like? Did he build it from the ground up, or did he buy it?
Yeah. So funny story. So he bought a Foodland store in 1990. It was his corner store in Bayswater. And my parents came from Vietnam after the Vietnam War in 1986. And he was studying a business diploma. And one day he went to his local corner store, it was up for sale. And end of the day, he decided to buy it, which is pretty crazy. And look, had no idea how to run a supermarket or anything. Decided to give it a go. Interest rates were pretty high, about 17% at the time. And you know, he got loans from all his family members and whatnot to give it a crack. And, you know, it's funny him telling me all his stories growing up about how running a business and not knowing what he was doing. He was saying, like, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought cordial was in the orange juice section, in the chiller section. And it was through his hard work and dedication that expanded to where we are today. So, you know, he started the business before I was born and kind of grew into the business and never thought I'd be part of the whole journey and work full-time in the business, but couldn't ask for anything else, and pretty much a dream job for me.
Amazing. And to keep it in the family for him must have been a proud moment for him.
Yeah, so growing up, I mean, growing up as a teenager, I didn't, you know, plan to be part of the business or work in supermarkets. I kind of loathed it growing up and getting dragged to work, but that work experience was really good and, you know, and shaped who I was in my early 20s to where I am now. And yeah, look, he was always, you know, big on me pursuing my own, you know, passions in life. And I was just very fortunate after graduating at university to get some work experience, and one opportunity led to another. And now I'm knee deep in the business.
So what did you study at uni?
So I studied a double degree in commerce economics, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And I did some extra studying. So I did an honors in economics for an extra year. So I studied for 5.5 years, and still after that, I still had no idea what I wanted to do.
So what made you want to go, right, I'm going to study this, not knowing there was a job at the end of it, or what job you could get at the end of it?
Yeah, so in high school, I was not sure what I wanted to do. You know, I did a lot of the subjects for engineering because a lot of my friends were going down the engineering path. And then, you know, after, you know, my ATAR results, I was like, well, engineering is probably not the path I'm really passionate about. Science is, you know, I was okay at it, but I didn't think I was passionate about it. And I was quite good at economics. I liked the idea of how things worked in society with money and whatnot and finances. And, you know, I took inspiration from my dad being a business person and entrepreneur. I was like, well, I was doing commerce. Oh, economics, there's a degree for that. So yeah, went down the economics path and commerce path. But yeah, I didn't think really professionally what I wanted to do. I just liked the idea of it, but not sure what I want to do as a full-time profession.
So if you had your time again at the start of that commerce economics degree, would you have studied it still?
Geez, very good question. I think so. I think university was valuable in skills that it taught me about, you know, being disciplined in, you know, doing your studies, learning concepts, applying it in an assessment and whatnot. But if I had my time back, I'd probably, you know, do a few things more differently. I was one of those university students, very typical, that, you know, you rock up, you know, twice a week to uni, do the bare minimum, cram for exams and assignments. And I think if I had my time back, you know, I'd enjoy that life being a uni student, you know, going to all the guilds and all the socials and making more friends and enjoying it all, because, you know, you're expected to be a full-time uni student as I was, and I probably didn't maximize that whole experience.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I'm the same.
Yeah. A lot of us, I reckon.
First year, I think I got a 50% in my first unit, and I was like, oh dear, I really should redo this this unit, but I passed, so I didn't need to. But I'm like, man, if I failed, that would have been like $1,000 or $1,500, I think it cost per unit back then. So you graduated. And yeah, I mean, we could always do things differently or more optimally rather than stuff around in our 20s. But that's when we learn, right?
100%.
So when you did graduate, at what point did you go, you know what, I'm gonna join the family business officially?
Yeah, it was a bit of a happy accident with all these opportunities that opened for me. So in mid 2015, I graduated. I was not doing much at home. I was just applying for jobs and playing a lot of video games and mucking around. And my dad came and he's like, Matt, you're not really doing much. How about you just get some work experience, tag along with me, and, you know, if you find a job, so be it. So I was like, look, I can't say no to opportunities. So, and I was like, you know, back in my mind, I had the idea of, you know, pursuing a professional career somewhere else. And, you know, growing up in the family business, I kind of knew how a supermarket worked, all the basics I learned as a kid and teenager, you know, I could apply. And it was really weird. You know, I wasn't doing much for the first week or two, just hanging around. And one day, my dad, Vincent, he came to me. He's like, Matt, we've got a bit of a job for you. We've got some community chess money, and this is our way that we, when people support us, we have money to give back to local community. And he's like, well, Matt, we've got some money that we need to donate to the community and organizations the next 2 months. Would you like to take on the job? And me back then, I was like, oh, look, how hard could that be? And, you know, I was much more shy and introverted back then and had some social anxiety. But I was like, look, I'm just going to Google local charities, sporting clubs, organizations in our four stores. And I just picked up the phone going, hi, my name is Matt. You know, I'm from the local IJ, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to give you money. And, you know, the excitement that people had on the phone going, really, you want to give me money? Because no one's going to say no to money and donations.
Of course.
And and then from there, I met with them face to face, you know, presented the check with the novelty check and everything. And, you know, that really inspired a passion in me. It's like, wow, I could really see I was making a difference in the community, and I was really to enjoy, you know, while I was doing the line of work I was involved with. And I built some self-esteem and confidence myself. And, you know, that led, one thing led to another. And, you know, the whole IJ ethos of what we do, you know, serving the community and also giving back to the community, you know, that resonated with me. And, you know, realizing how lucky I was with my parents being, you know, boat refugees who came to Australia with nothing, you know, all those things in my, you know, early 20s started to click in. And, you know, that's kind of what led me to being the family business. And, you know, to this day, my favorite part of the job is being able to connect with, you know, customers and giving back to the community. That's the most enjoyable part, you know, back then and it is now.
Yeah, you get the opportunity to give back from the start, and you're kind of giving back through what your dad's kind of upbringing and everything he's built. You're giving back on behalf of him as well as yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Look, growing up, you know, I used to hear a lot of his stories of how he came here on a boat, 3 months, almost died, yada, yada, came to Australia with, you know, clothes on his back, no word of English, and it was just through hard work that opportunities arose. And I think that's the values that it was instilled in me, to just work hard and put your head down and see what happens. And we realized that we came from nothing, and we got to make sure we give opportunities to other people who have nothing, just like we were. And we're very blessed and fortunate in life, and we just want to pay for the opportunities and, you know, all the goodwill that we've received over the years. So
back when you were a teenager, growing up, and obviously the family business was up and running already, was it just the one store back then, or did you have multiple?
Yeah, so we started with a store in Bayswater, a Foodland in Bayswater, and then he passed it on to his sister, and he decided to take on an IJ store. It was called Rules or Super Value back in the day in Huntingdale. And to give context, Huntingdale 25 years ago was just bush all around. There was no Canningvale or Southern River or whatever. And that's where it, you know, he expanded really. We had one store for a while, and probably in the last 10 or so years, he's decided to expand the business. So, you know, started at one and now we've got four.
So how many did were there at his in his during his realm when you were a teenager?
What age?
Like let's go like 15.
Yeah, so it was when I was 15, still the one store, and I was pretty much getting dragged to work up until I was 18, you know, on the Sunday doing the morning shift, and I was stacking shelves and serving customers. And I remember going, why am I doing this? I could be at home just playing video games or whatever, but I'm getting dragged to work. But the penny dropped in my early 20s, like, wow, some of the skills and lessons I learned in those times. And what I thought he was being hard on me, you know, I was like, I'm very grateful that, you know, it led me to where I am today and all the skills I learned and development.
Love that. And did you get paid when you were you weren't paid.
Asian parents, Asian family. no, and that's probably what caused a lot of my angst to go to work, not getting paid. But, you know, I think it actually taught me the value of money, actually. Helped me to, you know, consider, like, you know, this is what it looks like to work, and this is what you get in return and stuff. But no, I didn't really get paid. Yeah.
So the reason why I'm asking all these questions is constructing a difference in, because I see a lot of ethnic differences in Australia. Like my Asian friends and my Indian friends who have family businesses or are part of family businesses, they all have the same exact story.
Is that right? No, I'm not surprised.
But they all work hard, and they didn't get paid at the start, and now they're better business people, they're more educated, they're better with money, and they're better off, as opposed to the typical Aussie person, right? The white person who, you know, had it hand fed to them, or they were paid, or they got a chance to, you know, fluff around and do nothing. There's a huge difference there, and that's something interesting that I'm observing. Obviously, me coming from Russia, I have the same story. I didn't have a family business, but mum kicked my ass. When I was a teenager, she's like, you got to work. You want to buy something? You got to work. I'm not buying you shit. And, you know, she still spoiled me, and she helped me along the way, and she didn't allow me to fail colossally. And, you know, I've gone through more colossal failures later in life, but that's fine. But yeah, she set that up for me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I can see that in yourself with your family. Now, when you were with that one store as a 15-year-old and you were forced to work there for free.
Yes.
What was that like with your friends at school? Did they go, oh, let's go see Matt and at his dad's store. Did they fuck around or anything?
No, it's pretty funny because, you know, I lived around Bayswater, and my store was Huntingdale, so it's, you know, 30 or so minutes away. So didn't get that, but I was kind of jealous of my friends at the time, because they're like, I work at Bunnings or blah, blah, and I'm getting paid and this and that, and they're buying this, they're buying that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I'm doing the same thing, but I'm not getting paid. But, you know, retrospectively, you know, I think it's shaped who I am, and I'm very grateful that, you know, my parents, you know, had a hard upbringing to give me opportunities to where I was. And where I am today. So no, it wasn't. But one time before leavers, we were buying stuff in gear, and I was like, look, I've got an IJ store. How about we go down and get a discount? My dad can hook us up. And that was really cool. So that was the first time me and 3-4 friends came down to my store. I showed them around, bought gear, and had lunch there. That was the first time I was probably proud of, you know, who I was and what my family did for a profession.
Amazing, amazing. And your dad was like, yep, cool, you can have a discount for your friends. He wasn't strict on anything?
No, he was more than happy. He's like, oh, yeah, your friends come down. Yeah, I'll shout him lunch, you know. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We had a roast chicken and chips and this and that. And it was just cool sitting in the back dock, you know, what I did on a Sunday. It was just cool, you know, kicking back with my friends going, you know, this is my world.
That's awesome.
Which I've, you know, I was a bit shy to share my story and what my parents went through and what my family went through. But, you know, that was probably... Now thinking back, a bit of a glimpse of, you know, being proud of who I was.
And now you have a 30 under 30.
Recently got awarded a Business News 40 under 40 award.
40
which
under
is,
40, my bad.
Yeah, it's still pretty crazy to think about. Got awarded it two months ago, and it's, yeah, all the, you know, acknowledgements and all the support over the last two months. So wherever I go, friends, family and all these connections. It's been incredible. Never thought I'd get anywhere near winning an award like that. It's pretty surreal, to be honest. You know, not too long ago, you know, graduated from uni, no clue what I wanted in the world, social anxiety and shy. And, You know, what I can say is, you know, if you be comfortable being uncomfortable and you give things a go and be receptive of opportunities, you have no idea where it'll get you. So, yeah, it's a bit of a surreal feeling, and I'm very fortunate to be, you know, my success to winning an award like that, you know, didn't come on my own fruition. You know, I had a lot of help along the way, and, you know, my success is everyone's success, and, you know, I'm a product of my environment, and I'm very thankful to have good friends and, you know, a good network to get me to where I was, and, special night.
So now that you're how old are you now for the audience?
So I just turned 31. So,
31.
You know, I said to myself, funny with the 40 under 40 awards, I applied last year and got really close. And I said to myself, I had 10 years to get this right.
Yeah.
It only took me two. So, awesome. Yeah, like one less thing to tick off the bucket list, which was really cool.
That's cool. So now that you're you're about to take it over, what's your plan to go when your dad goes, right, I'm retiring, let's do this. What's the plan? What's your scope on things?
It's a really good question. So if you asked me that, you know, 5 or so years ago when I was in the family business and probably a bit more naive and inexperienced, you know, my mentality back then was I wanted more stores because I thought more is better. But comes with a bit more experience comes a bit more wisdom, and, you know, 4 stores, you know, I love it and wouldn't change anything for the world for it. But, you know, 4 stores is plenty. It's comes with its stresses and strains, and you know, there's a lot of joys in running your own business, as you would know. But you know, I got 4 locations, and 4 or 5 places to be at once. Sometimes it can be very challenging.
Well, let's go through them. So where are all 4 locations?
So we got 4 stores. So we got the one in Midlands.
Yep.
The big one in High Wycombe.
Mm-hmm.
Huntingdale IJ, which we've owned for over 25 years. So I've known that store since I was about that tall.
Yeah.
And Byford, it's called Lakeside Fresh in Byford.
Cool.
And I've owned that for 4.5 years now.
And what considers it to be a big IGA?
I think people consider big IGAs by the floor space.
Yeah.
So a lot of the IGA stores are, you know, medium to small. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the better ones or the easier ones to run.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Yeah. Smaller. Bigger stores is more problems, yeah. More staff,
smaller
more this,
surface
more that.
Area, less to clean.
And yeah, more running around, this, yeah. That. So going back to your question, yeah, 4 stores is plenty. You know, I've been offered and have had a look at other sites and all these things, and I'm not going to say no to it. But yeah, for me, it's like, you know, what's my legacy and what's my path? And,
yeah.
You know, I'm very content in the supermarket space. And yeah, I'm not quite sure what it is. You know, winning a 40 under 40 award will help.
Yeah.
You know, I think that will help me think about other things. But yeah, I just want to pursue some other careers and or a passion outside of the supermarket space, whether that's consulting or, you know, do a lot of volunteering outside of the business. And, you know, that aligns with the ethos of giving back. Mm. So, you know, exploring that space a bit more is probably where I'm looking at the moment.
What about on the topic of the different IGAs, which was the one that I visited?
Oh, so you visited Midland.
Midland. That's a huge store.
Like, yeah, that's considered big.
That was I felt like a Woolworths sort of size, which is insane because I grew up in Padbury and I had the Padbury IGA, formerly Juicens, and it was super tiny. And I was like, all right, that's IGA's brand, super tiny stores. And then when I lived in Kalgoorlie, there was a super IGA and that was a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And that was probably far out, four times the size. And just looking back now, you consider that almost Woolworth size too. But yeah, this one was huge. It's crazy. Had a whole section of everything. But with all this running around and your ambitions and, you know, volunteering and things, how much, like, how do you allocate your time? How do you not burn out?
Yeah, really good question. First off, I'm very fortunate to work for myself. But it comes with the territory. Look, I know I got to put in the hard yards, whatever it takes. But I get the flexibility to mission mash, you know, all the things I do. So, you know, 1 minute I'm doing some volunteering stuff during the day, or, you know, if that means I have to work at night and work on a few things, I do. Yeah. Really good question. Look, I really enjoy what I'm doing, and that's the first thing. Whatever you're doing in life, just make sure you're having fun and enjoying it. And, you know, if you're not, then it's not worth your time. So I'm happy to put the extra time in, whether it's in my, you know, IJ or professional career, or, you know, whether it's volunteering. But I also make sure I have time for a bit of time for personal life as well. And not to get burnt out. So make sure, you know, I do things like mindfulness techniques, or, you know, probably in the last 2 years with everything, you know, I've been, you know, very mindful more of my mental health and physical well-being. So, you know, for me, I get a massage once a month, and it's nice. A good way to unwind and a good way to de-stress and to allow me to live my fast-paced life.
I love that. And where you're going to, like, in terms of your day-to-day, describe to me your average day today.
Yeah, really good. So my day today, it kind of varies, but it looks something on the lines of wake up in the morning, obviously have breakfast. And that's one thing I don't skip. I skip lunch more often than not, but I make sure I have breakfast. And during that time, I check up on emails and I have a bit of a feel about, you know, what I have to do or achieve during the day. Generally, my to-do list is normally been dictated by what happens in the stores or the issues or things that arise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to visit my stores probably about twice a week, each of them twice a week, because I, as my role as the group operations and marketing manager, you know, I like to keep my finger on the pulse. I need to know exactly what's happening at the stores, getting feedback from either customers, suppliers, or my store managers or employees, and get a feel about a sense of where the business is going and where I can, you know, add some advice or some of my consulting. So that's kind of how it goes. And yeah, I try to minimize travel time as much as I can, because, you know, that's a lot of dead time. But I listen to your podcast along the way, which is always good. So plug to the Sev Show. Yeah.
That's it.
But yeah, so it's kind of a mix between, you know, visiting the stores and doing some office work. I mean, we do have a head office, but I'm not one for a lot of standing behind a desk and doing emails. I like to be connecting with people. And I can see that's a lot of where a lot of my value is added. So yeah. So pretty much it's visiting stores, checking emails and looking at a few things and doing TikToks, I guess, social media.
So being the marketing manager, that's part of the role. And when I first met you, you already had a bit of a small following compared to what it is
very,
now.
I'm not sure if I'd call, I think I probably had less than 1,000 followers on TikTok, to be honest.
So, and then you brought me on, this was February, and ran through a workshop, and then we did the in-person practical side of things, and we posted some of them, and some of them did really well. And then you took on the advice on doing more and getting the locals involved. How has that progressed in the last 5 months since we did it?
It's been an amazing journey. Look, to be honest, with TikTok, I can say it's probably been one of the hardest things I've ever done. I decided to give it a go because I saw, you know, a bit of a market space, you know, to be able to give things a go, to learn a lot of things, but also to share our story and be on a different platform, which to be honest, other supermarkets and even in the IJ space, people weren't doing. So that's why I reached out to you. I saw you a lot on TikTok. I was like, oh, look, he seems to know what he's doing. Excuse me. Done a bit of consulting. All right, I'm going to reach out to him. Hopefully he'll teach me a few things. And I think our content has evolved, just like TikTok or a lot of social media platforms evolve. I think a lot of mine were a lot of memes and trends. And, you know, with your consulting, a lot of it's our content has evolved to be, you know, more interview style, you know, stuff that we can repeat, stuff that adds a lot of value to the audience. And yeah, it's been really incredible. I think, what are we now? We're over 55,000 followers.
Crazy.
It's literally exploded. I think we've had 3 million views on TikTok, which, you know, if you asked me that 12, 18 months ago, I would have laughed at you. You know, through your advice, you know, I've never thought I'd be a video editor at all. but yeah, and I really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
You know, it helps you storytell and you get a bit of a feel about, you know, when you get the video, you know where to chop and change and add some flair to the whole thing. So it's been really incredible, the whole experience. And yeah, I've got a nickname as the IJ guy on TikTok.
That's awesome.
Which is really weird and never in a million years I thought that was possible. But, you know, whether I'm at my stores or whether I'm presenting a check or visiting the local schools, I get mentioned, hey, I, you know, follow you on TikTok, this and that. So it's been really incredible and it's been a point of difference for our business in the space.
Amazing. And that's still the first 6 months, the first 50,000 followers. I remember when I hit 50,000, I had a couple of people. I went down south with my wife, right? Mm. And we went down there and we were having a feed at a restaurant and these three boys came up and said, can we take a photo? And I'm like, this is – like I've had a few of those by then, but like not there were probably about three or four times randomly. But then this time it was like in another place, even if it was the same state. And then I was, you know, having lunch and then people came up to us and they were nice and they were respectful. And yeah, the lads came in and I got to find the photo. It was classic. And then the parents were like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, wow, you know, 50,000 followers and, you know, that's cool. And now literally, yeah, 100 times the amount,
yeah.
Which is crazy. Or not 100 times, 1.6 million now. And every 5 minutes I'm walking down somewhere, someone wants to have a chat. I watched this YouTube video recently of Mr. Beast.
I love Mr. Beast.
Yeah. So he had an interview with these guys 2 years ago and in his newly built place, like his ranch or whatever. It's got like thousands of hectares or acres or whatever you call it. And this is like his own studio space where he creates different projects. And he had 40 million followers at the time on YouTube. That's a huge.
Mm.
And I remember watching that and I felt like it was 2 weeks ago. And I was like, far out, this guy's killing it. And then they did the same interview, the same place, same people. And he has 160 million subs. You know, he did that Squid Game video and he did some more recent ones where he's restoring eyesight and people's hearing. That's crazy. So he's giving back to the community. I feel like there's not enough of that in Australia. And I feel like what you're doing with IGA will become like this huge success story and this thing that people talk about for years. And you're only at 50,000. I can't wait to do the same interview 12 months from now going, holy shit, look at you now, right? But it's all about consistency. When I talked to you in February, I was like, you need to be consistent. And you have been consistent. There's videos that didn't work, but then there's videos that did went absolutely skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And then you hone in on that and then you double down on that style and then you do more of those and then away you go. I have so many more ideas. If I live next door or down the road, I'd be there making content myself. But going
This is not a plug, but I'll talk about the time that you came to our store.
Yes.
I think you were at the store for an hour maybe and I can't believe how many ideas you came up with at the top of your head. And I've never thought about those ideas, but it opened to the realm of opportunities and possibilities of what a video looks like in a supermarket.
Mm.
We probably shot 10, 15 videos and some of it was, I think, you know, people to this day, people say, oh, you know, that video where you went down the aisle, this and that, or weighing the stuff, that was amazing. I think the idea generation was very left field, but, you know, create a lot of interest in our business.
That's it. That's it. I'm excited. And the most importantly, you get the kids involved, because what I noticed about my channel is the kids want to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
Because it creates a sense of belonging, sense of community, and that's what you got to do with any brand. If you have that, you'll succeed. You do that long enough, you will succeed no matter what. It's what Mr. Beast does.
He gets 100%. He's been one of my biggest inspirations last 12 months about how he storytells and how he connects with the next generation. You know, I say a lot of people, especially the older generation, they don't know who Mr. Beast is.
No.
They call him Mr. Muscle or whatever the case. But yeah, I think he's done a really good job about storytelling, you know, being a social media influencer, doing some great work in the community, and being a business person that inspires the next generation to hustle, give back, and everything.
That's it. And we're starting that here. And I
like that, yeah.
I want to run the flag in my niche, in my area for Australia. Like, I don't see anyone here. Nobody. There's influencers and there's creators, but they're not going
altruistic, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I see a couple of people that do that classic, hey, do you have a dollar? And then when they give them a dollar, they give them like $1,000. It's like the guy, there's one guy that is the OG for doing this. His name's MD or something. Mm. He does it the best, and he was the OG. And I'm like, all right, that's his thing. And I'm happy that other people are following those footsteps, but it's just like, do something unique. Do
genuine,
something
new. Yeah.
Do something, you know. Mm. So for me, it's like doing an interview with a kid and then them showing all their friends that they got a chat with me, or they it went viral. Oh, I'm now famous, you know. Like, fame isn't everything. Like, what is fame, right? For me, it's what did you learn from that person? What is the value that they've given you? Apart from giving you a fish for a day, like $1,000, great. But what can you give me that's lifelong, that is life-changing, not just a life experience, a one-off experience? Because I'll give you tickets to the grand final. Cool, amazing. Everyone loves it for a day. You've done it. It's a memory. But what is something lifelong that you can give someone? Mr. Beast is doing it. The literally giving eyesight back to them, restoring eyesight, restoring hearing. And that's this philanthropic stuff that I love about his side of it. He's got that whole philanthropic channel. That's the sort of shit.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
You know, but he started from the bottom where he was doing random things, counting up to 100,000, live streaming, saying Mr. Beast 100 times, 100,000 times, you know, all them things. He was testing for years. But for you to do what you've done in 5-6 months, you're still in the testing phase, according to, you know, someone like him. Imagine 5 years of this sort of consistency where you'll be. I've been told that ECU marketing students, one of the units they do in social media, they use me as a case study at university.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, cool. I don't even care that they didn't ask me or anything. I just think that's really cool. You know, I'm like, that's
look, you know, for what it's worth, Sev, you know, a lot of your ideas for interviewing and stuff, you know, I've replicated into, you know, the videos that we're doing.
I see them and I'm like, yes, this is it.
And it's like, works. And you know, when we first caught up and you showed me your wireless microphone, I said to you, Sev, I'm gonna go buy that microphone. Yes. So I literally went down to Wanderlust or
Camera Electronics. Good plug.
Shout out to Camera Electronics. Great in the plug. City whereabouts on
Murray Street.
Shout out to them.
Great plug.
And the guy had no idea where it was. He's like looking on the
Don't say that.
I was like, hey, I'm looking for this wireless microphone. The one that Sev has. This is what it looks like, I'm pretty sure. And he took like 10-15 minutes, the poor guy. He's like, it's in the system, but I don't know where it is. And it was not in the DJI place.
That was an intern, by the way. That was first day on the job, by the way.
But yeah, it is one of the is so easy to use. It's value for money.
Yep.
And like you said, I can relate to, you know, my audience. A couple of weeks ago, went to my Byford store 2:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. I'm just walking to the store. I've got plenty of work to do. I'm just going to go to the office. Walk in, there's 6 high school kids or primary school kids, and they're yelling and screaming my name. I'm like, oh my goodness, have I done something wrong? I'm like, what's the occasion? Like, Matt, it's you. We haven't seen you for a while. How are you? Do you remember me? I was part of your last TikTok video, this and that. Like, where have you been? And can we be part of your next TikTok? I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. And they're so nervous but excited, and this energy, like you said, you want to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, do you have any ideas? And they're not quite sure. I said, look, how are the easiest ways? I'm just going to interview you all about the store.
Yes.
And like, you can let people know about your store, your favorite things. And like, they're dying to like get it started. And like you said, it, you know, it's good for the business, but it's good for them that, you know, they get ownership of saying, this is me. This is my local IJ. This is Matt. I know Matt. This is that. And it's like that engagement. It's like, I don't know if I could do anything else that would get that same excitement or engagement in the store, but it's created a point of difference. And, you know, I'm very thankful to the audience. So shout out to the Byford crew.
The biggest difference in that is you are the employee within the store. You are the, you know, the owner operator as well. And you are able to put yourself in front of the camera. That is one of the big pillars that I tell every brand that wants me to work with them. Have a mascot, have an ambassador. If you can have that person who's already deep inside the business itself, you are shortcutting like massive shortcuts, because you already know the ins and outs of the business. You don't have to email someone, is this right? Is this right? You already know. And then you put yourself in front of the camera. I'm not asking you to go research something. You already know it off the top of your head. It makes it so much easier. We don't have to create a script to tell an ambassador or an influencer to tell them what you already know. You could have done it yourself. And someone real like that is so rare to find, to be able to do that for their brand. You nailed it.
It comes with experience. So, you know, 8 years ago, you know, studied a commerce degree, no idea about marketing, got in the family business, and to be honest, it was just by necessity that they're like, we kind of need, becoming the community liaison, I became the face of the business, and I learned to be comfortable with it. I was like, because before I wasn't one for, you know, taking photos of myself or this or that, or hi, it's Matt from blah, 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 blah. So I got comfortable with, you know, taking photos and being the face of our business. And when it came to TikTok, you know, that was a different kettle of fish, because, you know, I've never really videoed myself or recorded myself, and yeah, I had some anxiety and some doubts about it, but, you know, it's the same thing. I decided to give it a go, because if I didn't do it, you know, who else in the business or whoever's going to put their hand up? And, you know, staff and employees can be very gun shy, but if you get involved and get motivated and energetic about it, you know, they will reciprocate. So yeah, for me, it was, you know, and any advice to other business owners, entrepreneurs, is put yourself in front of the camera. You're a unique individual. You're not going to get right along the way, but you're going to learn very quickly what works, what doesn't work. And people can associate you as part of the brand of your business, 100%.
And if you're authentic about it and you're not just, you know, doing it for the sales or the more customers, you're doing it authentic. People can see that.
Yeah.
And they want to be involved, like those kids.
Yeah, and they're like, and a lot of feedback I get from customers, like, it sounds like you're having so much fun. The employees are having so much fun, and the kids are having so much fun. And it's like tick, tick, tick. It's like, what more can you ask?
Yeah, and you can make that content over and over and over again.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm excited to book a day to go to each one of your four stores and create content for myself, but plug Fam IGA. And know that people want to go, oh, Sev went there. Let's go there just in case he's there. Joondalup, Lakeside Joondalup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone comments on almost every video now, Sev, when are you going to Lakeside next?
Yeah, right.
And I'm telling Lakeside, I'm like, Lakeside, you should look at this.
Collab.
I do it anyway, and I have had a few collaborations with them, but I was pushing them before going, can we do something a little bit more frequently, you know, like from a business perspective, because it was in the best interest of everybody. It was a win-win-win. I got business, they got exposure, quality exposure, and they had people coming into the shops because I was there. And, you know, apart from a couple of collaborations, I think they've slept on it. And, you know, and that's something else that I reckon brands need to do, is identify that and capitalize on it. I don't think there's enough capitalization on those sort of moments. When you find something that works, you need to double down on it.
Yeah, 100%.
And milk the shit out of it.
while
still experimenting with other things. So, like, one of my most viral videos ever was that an IGA? Was that the King's?
It was the shelf, yeah.
It was the shelf thing. Yeah. And that's a series I can do over and over and over again until the cows come home. And like, I actually still get nervous about doing that specific video because we're filming someone secretly. It's in a public place and that. And then we don't want to piss anyone off. We don't want to disrupt their day, but we just want to have a laugh. And the ones that I've posted, all of them enjoyed themselves. They had a laugh and they're like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And then that obviously went down into the views and people loved it and stuff. But there's so many video attempts from that have been unseen that people have completely rejected me. And that's fine. That's content.
100%.
But they're just like weird. They get weird about things. And that's what makes me nervous. But going to somewhere in a store like yours where I know that your staff would have gotten a heads up going, hey, Seb's coming in to film today, just whatever. It's the same with Lakeside. Security guards leave me alone because I call in. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm filming today. Chill. And they're like, yeah, no worries. One of the security guards doesn't get the memo. They come up to me and they go, what are you doing? And I'm like, ring this person and ask them and I'll have the clearance. And then they get on the radio. Call my bluff and then like, oh shit, you're actually legit. I'm like, yeah, cool. So that's always funny. But going to the IGA now, again, I wish it was closer, but I need to make a day of it. And like a Saturday, I reckon that'd be your busiest day.
Hey, you're down. You're welcome to come.
And just do all of the get me from the bottom shelf and stuff. Oh, it'd be crazy. So all right, going forward now into your 30s, where do you see yourself in alignment with your with the fam group? Let's start with 35 and then 40.
I really thought of that far ahead in goals and stuff. Look, I've just been very lucky in the last, let's say, 5 or so years in my life that I was just receptive to opportunities. I gave it a go and then one door opened another. So, yeah, I'm not sure with the next 5 or 10 years in my life. But, yeah, happy in the IJ space. But, you know, is there something I can do, you know, with myself and you know, is there a business in there to consult people about how a small business works or how social media works or, you know, is there a space for me to, you know, consult in the volunteering not-for-profit sector? You know, that's where I'm thinking about, and dip my toes in the water.
Okay.
So yeah, look, I think for me, it's really important to have a balance in life. Cause you know, does 10 IJ stores make me happy? Does 20? It was like, well, not really. It just adds more stress. There's more phone calls. You got to hire more staff. And what happens, this happens, that happens. And some of those things is like, well, I'm very content and blessed in life to, you know, have a living, but also pursue the other passions in my life as well. So the main thing for me is, yeah, to, you know, balance it all, have a personal life, travel a bit more probably is the way to go.
I think
ever since the flu, it's, yeah, I've been very fortunate enough to do a bit more traveling and I just realized, you know, there's more of the world to see and connect with traveling.
I love that. I love that travel. Gotta travel. Where's your like dream place you've always wanted to visit?
Good question.
They're all good questions.
Yeah. I haven't gone to Europe.
Yep.
That's one thing. And I've spent a week in Japan.
Ooh.
And that was on a bus tour. So I only got to see, you know, each city like a day, so I didn't get myself really immersed in. So probably Europe and Japan, probably two places that probably come to mind.
I love that. I love that. And do you have any other hobbies apart from video games?
Yeah, so apart from video games, you know, I spend a lot of time in volunteering. So I'm involved in a lot of volunteering organizations. So, you know, I'm on a school board at the Honeydale Primary School, the Bendigo Bank branch in Byford. I'm a board director. And on top of that, you know, I'm been involved with Rotary for the last, how long has it been now? 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably been the best thing I've done in my life. It's got me to where I was to, you know, someone who just played video games, didn't get out of his comfort zone to where I am now. Mm-hmm. And had it not been for volunteering and doing Rotary and giving back, I 100% wouldn't have won a 40 under 40 award, wouldn't have got anywhere near it. So, yeah, so pretty heavily involved in Rotary. And part of my Rotary Club in Elizabeth Quay.
Love that. Charity helps. Charity helps immensely. You do it from the heart and that will come back full circle in a better way for you. The karma is real.
Yeah, it's really funny. So because of all the community work I was doing in my IJ, I asked a local politician, I was like, how do we become more like you? Because you seem you have good energy and buzz. He's like, well, join Rotary, do some volunteering. And, you know, growing up, you know, Asian parents and stuff, we weren't accustomed to that. So I was like, oh, look, I like this type of thing. I'm going to give it a crack. And, yeah, it opened a world of opportunities. You know, I signed up to volunteer just to give back. But, you know, what I got back, you know, was 100-fold in return. And some of the things I got, like, you know, I got a mentor out of it, professional development, personal development, leadership opportunities, and met an amazing group of people and friends, and even done business deals with people I've met through my volunteering journey. So honestly, best thing I've done, ever done in my life so far, and, you know, highly encourage people to give back. And that's why, you know, I have a huge, you know, amount of respect of someone like Mr. Beast, because, you know, yes, he mixes business, but he has philanthropy and inspires the next generation to give back. And I think that's really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. So given the advice, or given your experience and observations over the last 31 years now, you're speaking to someone who is still at school and who's uncertain of what they're going to do. But they're looking at maybe running a business or studying at uni. What would be your most important one piece of advice be?
Yeah. A couple things I would say is, well, one thing I'd say is it's okay not to have things figured out. And I think we put too much pressure on the younger generation, you know, especially the way things are designed when you're 7 to 18, you know, what university degree you want to study for the next 3-4 years to get into your professional career. And, you know, I didn't have it figured out probably until my mid-20s, to be honest. So, you know, don't be stressed out about not knowing what you want to do. Like, it's completely fine. And for me, is really quite simple. It's just to give things a go. Like, just back yourself, whatever it is. If you want to do this, go for it. If you want to do X, Y, Z, just honestly go for it. Give things a go and be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Love that.
And I think that's where I had a lot of my learnings. You know, I never thought I'd, you know, I got social anxiety at university because I completely fluffed a presentation. And it got to the point back 10 years ago when I first joined the gym, and I was skinnier than what I am now. When I first joined the gym, it took me 40 minutes to get out of the car and open the door to and talk to someone. Like, seriously, I had so much anxiety in my head. I had many a thought to leave, turn on the car and just drive back home. And then something clicked in my head going, Matt, you need to give this a go because you're going to live a life paralyzed in fear and you don't know what you're missing out on. You need to just see what happens. If you think people are going to laugh at you or this or that, so be it. But you need to get out of this because, yeah, you're going to live a life in fear and who knows what it's going to be. So
I love that. I love that. We're gonna introduce a new section, new segment into the podcast. It's called the Red Mic Firing Squad. Might change the name of that later.
I've seen this on, in your TikToks and
came
stuff.
Came up with that. So you hold that.
Okay.
Keep your mouth still relatively close to that mic because that's the actual mic. So I'm just going to give you quick questions.
Yep.
Give me quick answers.
Sure.
Don't explain, don't expand.
Quick fire.
Just go for it. Quick fire. All right. All right. Your favorite IGA store that you have?
Byford, Lakeside Fresh.
Why?
I own it and I built it from the ground.
Hey. Favorite thing to stock at IGA?
At the moment, it's the American products.
Okay. Why is that?
Because all the kids and all high school students love it, and that's how I get my following. And it's a niche as well.
Love it. Least favorite thing to stock at IGA?
Anything heavy and bulky.
Fair enough. Yeah. How do I get a job at IGA?
Really quite simple. Have a resume, have a cover letter, come into store and drop it off. And have a conversation with someone saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'd like to drop on my resume. Would that be okay?
Perfect. And final question, if you could eat one thing at IGA from your IGA for the rest of your life, what would it be? Oh, stumped him.
I love pizza, so I'll probably have to go with pizza.
Expansion question. What is on your pizza for the rest of time?
I kind of like an Italian pizza, to be honest. Or I like a classic pepperoni pizza, just straight up pepperoni.
Straight up pepperoni.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Love a Domino's pepperoni pizza if we're going down that path.
Crazy. All right. Easy. Red mic question done. Well done. There cool. It is. So that'll be rapid a segment. Fire. Rapid fire completed. Well, Matt, thank you so much for all the stories that you've shared and your journey so far. Definitely a part one, part two in the mix 12 months from now. Can't wait to see what that IGA fam group number gets up to.
We'll see.
And I cannot wait for you to just get flown around the country and show other IGAs how it's done. I'll come with you, obviously.
For sure.
Let's one final sign off. Give your fam group a plug.
Yeah, just in the so you can follow us on our social. Oh, here.
Yep.
You can follow us on our socials at Fam Group IGA on TikTok and Instagram. If you want to follow me on Instagram or TikTok, it's at MattyFam92.
Yeah, 92.
Come say hi to me if you see me around.
Love it, love it. Get a photo. And if you want to get a photo, then he has to give you an interview. That's the catch. You know, that's the trade-off. As for myself, huge shout out to Bright Tank Brewery, as always, for sponsoring, major sponsor of the podcast. They're located in East Perth and they've got a restaurant there which has some of the most insane steak you'll have in Perth. And they've got a whole range of beers. They've got the Double Chalk Face Killer that has just been released. The wonderful, wonderful frothy golden liquid. Get it in ya. Obviously, responsible drinking, over 18, all that. Don't do it if you're pregnant. And that's all the formalities. Again, Matt, thanks for coming in.
No worries. My pleasure.
As always, guys, good thanks.